he fits exactly what Gain and O'Brien are looking for as far as a good teammate, somebody that's a hard worker. He is a guy that is a true leader in that locker room. To me, he was the face of Tampa Bay. It wasn't Jameis Winston, no offense to him. It was Gerald McCoy. When you went there, it was his team. He demanded respect on and off the field. He was somebody that was awesome in the community, which you got a lot of guys here that do amazing things in the community. But he was somebody that demanded respect, and he spoke up and was a leader no matter what the situation was. Tough times, if offense wasn't coming through, he would talk to you respectfully. He was somebody that you want on your team.
Cecil Shorts on the Triple Threat talking about one of his former teammates, Gerald McCoy, who was out there. He was released by Tampa the other day. We all want the Texans to sign him. And I know, Seth, you're wondering exactly how much money this team should spend on McCoy.
Well, the question is, are you going to give him $14 million a year like Ndamukong Suh got last year for a one-year contract? And then Gerald McCoy, for the record, was scheduled to make $14 million a year with Tampa this year. I don't know what exactly was going on with any negotiations between the two teams. For one, like Todd Bowles, more of a 3-4 type of guy, probably thought that Gerald McCoy didn't quite fit his scheme. It's interesting because I don't think Ndamukong Suh really does either. But it does, like 3-4 doesn't matter as much as it used to. So I don't know if he wants, like, is Gerald McCoy expecting to get at least a one-year $14 million deal, or is he expecting to get like a 3 or 4 year deal somewhere? I don't want to give him a 3 or 4 year deal.
Well, that's what I can't really figure out, because he's at the age, and you pointed this out this week, that it's not like McCoy is in Tyrann Mathieu's shoes. Mathieu was in a situation where the NFL owners were, for whatever reason, not paying safeties last year. Maybe there was some weird stuff going on, but he was young enough to where he could say, hey, I'm going to play for 1 year for the Texans, or it could have been anywhere else, but I'm going to reestablish my value, and I'm going to get a big deal the next year.
Right.
He did, and he did. McCoy, at the age of 31, is probably not going to play on a one-year deal, and they get more money next season.
I don't, and that's where I am. If it's a one-year prove-it deal, I'm all in, and I think they should spend liberally to get that, because I think he can help you immediately. Like, right now, you don't really have anybody that you feel is a really good interior pass rusher. They've got a lot of guys that I like that are good versus the run and can get some push in the pocket, but they're not pass rushers like McCoy.
Yes.
McCoy's not as good as he was 3 or 4 years ago. He will be more motivated, and I think he's in a better situation if he comes to Houston than he was in Tampa last year. So his individual production, I think you could actually get more individual production out of him than you got last year. But I think that it would be good for that. But I also, like, given the fact that you're going to pay Clowney most likely at some point, you're already paying J.J. Watt, I don't want to take on a 31-year-old on a 3-year deal that might drop off of a cliff in 2 or 3 years and or be more likely to get injured. This is a perfect, like, the Texans becoming the one-stop shop for guys that want to prove themselves on defense. I'm all about that.
You like that.
Sign me up for that. I'll be your get-right team.
Tyrann Mathieu, Bradley Roby this year. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And then hypothetically, Gerald McCoy. And here's another reason to want to think about signing Gerald McCoy. According to Fox 59 in Indianapolis, the Colts will at least kick the tires on Gerald McCoy. Sometimes you know what you think based on what your enemy is going to do, right?
Yeah.
And whatever your enemy does, it's like, do you feel good about it? Or do you feel bad? If the Colts sign Gerald McCoy, people would be even more worried about the Colts than they already are. And we're in a situation where almost everybody's going to be picking Indianapolis to win the AFC South coming up in about 2 months.
We haven't talked a lot about the Colts this offseason other than a few updates here and there. But Colts fans in Indianapolis, from the people I talk to, are just as, I don't want to say irate. They're wondering why the GM hasn't made any moves up in Indianapolis. Why has Chris Ballard not done anything? They've got a ton of cap space too. Why are you not improving the team?
Yes.
I feel like he and Brian Gain are these two young GMs that are like in this weird game of chicken where they're going to prove how like fiscally responsible they both can be. Like, we're going to be, no, you think you're fiscally responsible, Chris Ballard? Ballard, watch this. We're not going to spend any money at all. But now it makes sense. It would actually make me feel, yeah, even better about the Texans going after him. If Chris Ballard is thinking about trying to bring Gerald McCoy in, and Chris Ballard's a fiscally responsible guy that doesn't want to spend a whole lot of money but could get a guy like Gerald McCoy in on a one-year deal, then hell yeah. It's just more affirmation that it makes sense.
McCoy makes a lot of sense for Houston, but he makes probably even more sense for Indianapolis. They have more cap space, and they don't have any Clownies and Watts on their defense right now. They like had, those kind of players.
You know Margus Hunt, that big lanky freak?
Yes.
He ended up playing nose tackle at the end of the season for them. He looks like a defensive end. You would never think like, oh, I'm going to have him play nose tackle. They had to have him move down and play nose tackle. And even as he was playing really well as a defensive end, they just had to do that. So yeah, they need help with their interior pass rush. Like Gerald McGlinchey, they could kick Margus Hunt out and get him more production and use them more effectively outside.
How worried are you about Justin Houston? Because In the Loop is very concerned about Justin Houston on the Colts.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's not like he's the only pass rusher they're going to face this year.
Oh, I know.
Justin Houston is, he's not like what he was a few years ago. Justin Houston hasn't been incredibly effective.
Now, he did have a good number of sacks this season, but I think it's a nice move for Indianapolis, but this is not some groundbreaking move that they made by signing Houston. I think it was a solid move. I think it was a good signing for them, but it's not something that's going to like revolutionize the AFC South.
Yeah, I don't think I think the Justin Houston release got. Am I underselling? I'm not lumping him in just with Kansas City's bad defense, because Kansas City actually had a good pass rush and did a lot, but they were also playing with a really healthy lead a lot of the time.
Especially late
in
the season.
So they got into hunt mode very quickly. But I think it wasn't just a scheme mismatch. It was how much Justin Houston was making. I'm not overly worried about Justin Houston. I'm worried about like eight different teams this year in terms of pass rush. Until any of these offensive tackles show that they can play, then I'm worried about all those teams. But Justin Houston doesn't loom in my mind compared to other guys.
I agree with you. And we also agree that the Texans should pursue Gerald McCoy, although I'm just getting the feeling that he's going to sign with a Browns-like team, possibly the Patriots, although I don't think that is realistically going to happen. But I think he's going to sign with one of those kind of teams. I don't think it's going to happen with him and the Texans. I hope to be wrong on that one. Seth, a lot of people, including I think you and I, are searching for replacements for what we are now going to watch after Game of Thrones ended on Sunday. Well, can we interest you in a mini-series about Tiger Woods?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
how long is it? Is it 18 episodes, please?
I don't know how many episodes it's going to be, but a Tiger Woods scripted mini-series based on a book written last year is in development with something called Wheelhouse Entertainment. So this is a book that was written by Jeff Benedict and Armin Katayan that did like 250 interviews.
Armin Katayan?
The TV guy. This was a book basically that went into a lot of detail about his car accident, the infidelity scandal, all the Tiger Woods personal drama, and they're going to develop a mini series based on this.
I need to know the fact that it's called a mini series makes me a little nervous. Like usually they only call it a mini series when it's on network television, right, or USA Network or something.
I think so.
I don't know why
it's like 3-5 episodes.
Well, I guess or you call it a mini series if you know there's not going to be a second season. So maybe that's all. And there wouldn't be. Why would there be? This is going to be specifically about like the Tiger Woods drama. And then,
well, listen,
the 10 years that he spent just kicking around pretending he was a Navy SEAL.
At some point, the writers of the Tiger Woods miniseries are going to run out of the source material. And let's see what they can do.
I'm not watching this thing unless George R.R. Martin writes it.
Yeah, listen, until George R.R. Martin finishes the Tiger story, I refuse to acknowledge what's going to happen in this miniseries.
Tiger Woods in a Denny's parking lot talking to some woman saying, you don't want to unleash the dragon.
Yes. I
think that this could be the thing that becomes, all right, everybody said after Game of Thrones that, oh, this will be the last television show that everybody sits around talking about at the water cooler. I don't think so. I think this show could be that thing. Because remember when those O.J. Simpson documentaries came out? There were like two a couple years ago.
Yep.
In the sports world, I feel like people are really talking about that a lot.
They were.
And a little bit outside the sports world because it was the O.J. drama. It was a whole lot of it. Nothing has crossed over between sports and popular culture the way the Tiger Woods did. The Tiger Woods drama with him and Elon and all of the rest of it and the parking lots and the videos, that was like the real life version of Jerry Maguire, where like it appealed to a sports audience, it appealed to women, it appealed to everybody for multiple different reasons.
My mom is aware of it.
Your mom's aware of it. This could be, if it's well done, if this is a good miniseries, this might be the very next thing. The only thing is we're not going to learn anything, right? There's like, it's not like they're going to divulge some secret or something.
I don't think so. Well,
How this one, you didn't know how Game of Thrones ends. You know how this one ends.
You know how this one ends, but in fairness, this book, which I admit I have not read, this book by Jeff Benedict and Armagan Tain about Tiger and his infidelity in the car accident, yeah. It's gotten really good reviews for how much insight they've had.
Okay.
So maybe there's stuff in the miniseries that's out there, but I am not like aware of.
It's like with the O.J. Simpson stuff. There was stuff that was public record, but until you see it, it jogs your memory.
Yeah, until you see
it. Or you didn't realize at the time because you were listening to all the wrong people when you were watching the trial, or your friends are jackasses. Like, it was really interesting. So I think there's that capacity for this.
The Tiger Woods miniseries earns the very coveted award of Mike Meltzer will definitely check out the first episode and then make my decision.
Did Elin Nordegan get married?
I don't know.
That's what you could do. You could turn it into a series where you keep doing it from people's different perspectives. Like, season two could be from Elin Nordegan. You're watching her, like, in her wealthy... Think about her growing up in Sweden or Finland or where the hell she's from. Like, a young, privileged child riding horses and everything. Everything's just a perfect paradise life. And then she marries this monster, Tiger Woods.
Well, we'll see.
She's still doing all right now, though.
I think she's still doing just fine. Mad Radio on a Thursday. Paul's back with us tomorrow. All your morning headlines... We spent a lot of time this morning talking about Jadeveon Clowney because Cecil Shorts is reporting that if Clowney does not get a new deal, we're not going to see him until the week before the regular season begins. How would his teammates feel about this? And are we at all worried about the way Gerrit Cole looked last night? Next on Mad Radio.